Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. Today I am speaking with Alex Wassel. He's the CEO of Nexian Biopharma. Stock symbol is NXEN over the counter. Alex, welcome.
Thank you, Jack.
Alex, why don't we start off with you giving us a little bit of an overview of Nexian's business model?
Sure. Nexian Biopharma is a traditionally constructed pharmaceutical company. We are incorporated as such. We are a publicly traded company. We operate totally within the realm of FDA compliance for research and drug development. We do the research and drug development with third-party contractors, including CDMOs, formulation companies, and academic research partners, both here and abroad. And all of them maintain the necessary federal permits to work with our particular APIs, which happen to be cannabinoid-based.
Okay, and what are some of the markets that you're addressing, and maybe if you can go into, the drug development strategy that you have in place.
Absolutely. So Nexian Biopharma is a recent name change from a former company named Intiva Biopharma, and the name change to Nexian was done after the acquisition of my former company called CRX Bio. CRX Bio's patents and management team were absorbed and purchased by Intiva, now Nexian Biopharma, and we are now one merged company with a comprehensive patent portfolio comprising of former CRX Bio patents and research programs, as well as former Intiva, now Nexian patents and research programs. So what we're really particularly interested in is epilepsy. GW Pharmaceuticals recently got their drug Epidiolex approved by the FDA, and that drug product itself, not the API, but the drug product itself was conditionally rescheduled to Schedule 5, which, as many listeners may know, is the weakest schedule or the most lenient schedule. So it doesn't really pose high abuse potential, is how they kind of rate the scheduling system. So there's a lot of empirical evidence relative to other indications, since research is still fairly new on cannabinoids, since that research has been restricted historically. There's a good body of prior art relative to other indications that support efficacy for epilepsy, and particularly refractory epilepsy. And that would mean epilepsy that doesn't respond to the current standard of care, which are benzodiazepines. So there are many pediatric patients included, which are having terrible frequent seizures, many seizures a day, or even many seizures a week. Either way, it's terrible. And these patients are taking drugs that oftentimes are ineffective, or they build a tolerance to it, they become dependent on, or they become psychologically impaired by, because benzodiazepines at the doses necessary and other drugs similar to benzodiazepines, which are used to treat epilepsy, can cause daytime tiredness, memory problems, and other issues that would otherwise impair somebody's daily functioning. So we are not producing psychoactive drugs. Our pharmaceutical therapeutic compounds and API matrices are designed not to be psychoactively impairing or psychoactive at all. They are merely designed to mitigate the issues that cause the cascade of creating a convulsion or an epileptic seizure. So that's one area that we're really focused on right now. And we have another area that we have an ongoing investigation patient case study that we've been working with a world-renowned researcher named Dr. Chaucer in myotonic dystrophy. And that case study is being done with a group of his patients in Germany. And that is sort of an internal proof of concept investigation that would subsequently enable our ability to finance and justify ongoing work in preclinical and clinical research in accordance with FDA pathway to develop our drug development program for myotonic dystrophy and our clinical research program for myotonic dystrophy. So those are two that are currently being worked on. And we've announced also in our press releases that we have patents surrounding certain targeted pain indications, nerve agent exposure, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and several others that we'll announce in the future.
Okay. And first I want to ask you, how is what you're doing different than, other companies targeting? Like, I think there's a few companies that are developing, cannabinoids based drugs for epilepsy. What are you doing differently?
I'm glad you asked that. So we are focused on advanced formulation and delivery systems. Cannabinoids intrinsically are chemical molecules that have poor oral bioavailability, and they undergo strong hepatic first pass metabolism, which means they're heavily broken down by the liver, and you you don't get as much into the blood as you would through other delivery systems and delivery routes of administration. So we're focused on what's called parenteral routes of administration, which would be non-oral, inclusive of injectable formulations for more of a rescue type scenario, so that patients don't have to wait months and months for oral cannabinoid drugs to start building up in the target tissues, the central nervous system target tissues to create efficacy, which is, it's public information in GW Pharmaceuticals phase 2 trials that they showed about 3.5 months on average for a significant effect. Our goal is to, we don't use the same exact API. We have our own unique mix of APIs. They're cannabinoid based. So we're not just using cannabidiol in our formulations. We have a very advanced formulation, a very advanced ratio of cannabinoids and delivery mechanism through which we can hopefully prophylactically mitigate and stop seizures and other convulsive type disorders.
Okay, so essentially your kind of competitive advantage is that you can deliver the drug faster into the system?
Correct. That would apply to all of our indications. But that's not the only thing that we're investigating. We also have oral and sublingual products that we're working on as well. But one of the main things we are differentiated by is the fact that we're largely focused on the parenteral route of administration with cannabinoids, which is something that's largely not been investigated.
So what exactly is that? I'm not familiar with that. What
parenteral means, again, non-oral. Okay. So an administration that is parenteral could be, let's say, transdermal. It could be injected.
Okay.
Give you an example.
Got it. Okay. And I think your company is, I think you're developing, I saw on your site, a delivery system you're calling, what is it, Exact Dose? Can you explain how that works and what that's all about?
Exact Dose is the brand name we've assigned to something that we've in-licensed, a tablet technology that we've in-licensed for human and veterinary applications. And this tablet technology creates very, very accurate scoring on a tablet to allow for a single tablet to potentially be broken into 3 or 4 doses, which, you know, has an advantage to the logistical sort of framework from a pharmaceutical standpoint of production and distribution and dispensing at a pharmacy. And also it's very interesting and attractive from a veterinary perspective because, you know, instead of having to have 3 different size tablets or 4 different size tablets for different size animals, one tablet could be produced that could actually be for a small, medium, or large size dog, for instance.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Now, will you be bringing in any partners for the drug development, or how will you go about this?
Absolutely. We work with very, very well-known in the pharmaceutical industry, well-known CDMOs, formulation partners, and academic research labs. We haven't yet announced some of that information, but we will be announcing some additional information in future press releases related to our additional partners. But all of our partners are they are in possession of a DEA Schedule 1 permit for handling and research and formulation work, et cetera, on these APIs.
I see. Okay. And so, you know, can you kind of go over, you know, Nexine's, IP portfolio and, you know, also the status of the, you know, the pipeline right now?
The
drug development pipeline.
Mm-hmm. The portfolio is expanding. We have the Exact Dose technology that you had just mentioned and we talked a little bit about. We have our priorities right now focused around supporting our patents on myotonic dystrophy and epilepsy, convulsive disorders, using our unique differentiation standpoint from a formulation and route of administration perspective, that being parenteral. Again, we have also patents in the pain indication areas and chronic traumatic encephalopathy areas and many others. So the others have yet to really be announced publicly, but we can't talk about them just yet. But, you know, we have an ever-expanding patent portfolio.
Okay. And what's your vision for the company over the next 2 years?
Our goal is to become a leader in the cannabinoid pharmaceutical space. And we say that because there are very few players that are really doing this in accordance with true FDA pathway and DEA permitted partners. Now, a lot of people who are out there doing cannabinoid research might be operating in some of the gray space, which is not prosecuted currently by the DEA, but we are not doing that. So, our goal is to... in light of what GW Pharmaceuticals accomplished, which is extremely great at exemplifying just what we would like to accomplish as well, you know, show the public that in advocating for medical marijuana, what they really want is pharmaceutical cannabinoid therapeutics that undergo clinical trial investigations and that undergo the quality control rigor and prescription oversight by a physician for treating these terrible diseases that are otherwise poorly treated or not well treated at all by currently available drugs. So, you know, we are differentiated from the other groups out there, and we would like to be a leader in the space. And that's pretty much the vision of our company. And in the short term, we'd really like to kind of reinforce the message that we are a true pharmaceutical company and not a cannabis company.
Okay. Now, can you tell us about, you know, your background and also some of the key members of the team or, you know, your scientific advisory board?
Absolutely. Information about our entire team, management team, board, and scientific advisory board can be found on the website. My background particularly is in life sciences. I spent the last 10 years building a company called Elevated Life Sciences. We're a full-service product development company for biotechnology, therapeutics, food, beverage, nutraceutical, with a focus on biotechnology and related technologies. So we spin out in our portfolio certain ventures. CRX Bio was one of those ventures. And CRX Bio then operated as an autonomous company, was recently purchased by Nexium. So my background is largely in the life science realm. So we have a really great management team with experience spanning from Wall Street to major pharmaceutical companies. And our scientific team, which is expanding, has great advisors and great in-house scientific wherewithal for clinical trial development, you know, the entire pre-IND CMC pathway expertise, and fundamental biochemistry and cannabinoid expertise. We also have an excellent in-house intellectual property counsel who's actually got a background in biotechnology and pharmacology. He's got his PhD in pharmacology, his master's in biotechnology, and he practices law mainly for the purpose of developing and prosecuting patent portfolios, and particularly for us.
Okay, great. What are some of the key milestones over the next 12 months that investors should keep an eye on?
Well, I will defer them to our sort of public statements, our press releases, and our 8-Ks and 10-Qs. That has all of the most up-to-date information that is publicly available. We are just finishing transitioning through a merger and acquisition here from Nexium and CRX. So we're absolutely humming along at full speed to accomplish certain things before the holidays. And we have some really exciting programs that we're going to announce in the future in 2019. So right now we are merging teams. Our focus is on maintaining our ongoing research that has been announced and it has been in play before the absorption of CRX by Nexium, and preparing for some of the research programs that CRX had in play, which will be announced soon and are very exciting.
Okay. Now, is there, maybe we could wrap up with this. Is there anything that investors should take into account, you know, when considering your stock? Like what you know, key value drivers do you think investors should focus on?
I can't really say a whole lot about that right now. You know, anything that's really available on about the company that investors might be interested in are in our 8-Ks and 10-Qs. We aren't really trading a large amount of stock right now. Our stock has just gone from restricted to free float. So there's a good bit of volatility in the stock, but we're not raising money from the CSC when we do list. It's going to be a non-funding event. So we are when and if we do raise money, it would be private placement. I think that's about all I can say as of right now.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, I want to thank you. And, we look forward to following the Nexium story in the coming months.
Yep, absolutely. Keep an eye out for some exciting new press releases.